Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
These are great.
All five.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball.
I got him.
It's just, you didn't.
I did it.
You're still doing it. You're still doing the bit. This is like 4 weeks in a row, I think.
No, the thing is, you take a break from it. It's the John Mulaney, the What's New Pussycat.
Oh, yeah. You don't do it for a week or two, and then you just come back.
Yeah, you do five or six What New Pussycats, and then you throw in a It's Not Unusual.
Yeah.
So everybody breathes that sigh of relief.
And then that next one hits.
God, I love John Mulaney.
I love the table flip from the guy.
God. Now I'm going to have to listen to that bit on the way home, because it's so great.
It's really good. Okay, so... guys, check out John Mulaney if you haven't. And into actual nerdy stuff.
That one's for free, John Mulaney. The next one will cost you.
If he is a listener.
Speaking of for free, I'm going to just throw this plug out real quick. We got the Patreon. It's the first show of the month, which means that today's pre-show.
Did you not mean to do that?
No, I thought he was gonna be like plug something else. Like I was like, oh, what interesting thing is Jesse gonna plug? No, for our own stuff. No, we have to pimp that out like every second we get. Like I'm gonna reference the free pre-show on Patreon.com/Podzilla1985 like three more times during this episode.
Yeah, there you go. So
you get this one for free, and then if you pay $1, you get the rest of them.
Because
right?
The first pre-show of every month is free. Yeah. You can go to patreon.com/Podzilla1985. You can listen to it for free. If you decide you like it, $1 a month gets you all the pre-shows. And we have RSS set up, so it actually, once you subscribe, it works with your podcast apps. You can get it that
it's
way.
Magical.
It's very nice. It's very nice. Anyway, Owen Wilson has signed on for a mystery role in Loki.
Beta Ray Bill. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Why would that be? Well, I guess it could be in Loki, but...
I very well
could
be.
Christian Bale should be playing Dario Agger? Is that the announcement?
No.
Oh. Christian Bale should play Dario Agger.
Yeah, I mean, cool. We know your opinion on this. But
fact.
What is Owen Wilson going to play?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. How about that? It'd be the lowest energy Beta Ray Bill ever. I actually want that now. I want that to be.
Just him like landing.
Wow.
Do we know what project he's tied to, or just that
it's
he
Loki.
Signed on? Oh, it is Loki.
Yeah, okay. It's definitely Loki. But we don't know anything else other than Loki.
Loki's brother Thor.
Nope.
Alternate reality or alternate universe.
I don't know about all that.
The other just sounds wow. What? To his hand.
I mean,
makes the sound.
There are other children of Odin that the movies have not touched yet.
Quite a few.
Yes, but he also does not strike me as someone who would play an Odinson.
Yeah, probably not. And also, like, I don't think that they're going to really put in, like... So in comic books, that mythos has been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Odin has really gotten around.
What?
I don't think that they want to do that with the MCU Thor. Because, like, at this point, like, he has two legitimate children and Loki.
No, I want a Thor movie where it's basically the Brady Bunch, where they're all meeting each other for the first time. Same comedic level of Ragnarok. Like,
well, but Loki was the adoptive child.
Yeah, he's
like,
the adoptive
son. It's not like he was an illegitimate child.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Odin has a lot of those.
Yeah, when I say illegitimate children, like, legitimate children, I mean, like...
He sired Thor and Hela.
Correct.
And then they hid her away. But, like, in the comics, Thor has, like... two other like full-blooded siblings.
Yeah,
like he's got like two brothers. One of them's been in like been in dead and in hell for 60 years or like real time. They wrote him off real early. They brought him back for War of the Realms
or War of the Realms. That was it.
So I don't know. Like, but yeah, Owen Wilson. There's no way he's going to be like another Odin son.
No, definitely.
Even
not.
Like an alt world, I could maybe see him like. Because we've gotten some sort of impression that this is going to be a lot of, like, time and dimension hopping Loki, right?
Yeah.
I could kind of see him being the companion, like, to the Doctor. Like, he's just some weirdo that Loki has endeared himself to or thinks that he can use.
I could
and
see
so
that.
He
I
just,
would also
like,
be fine
takes
with that.
Him, he takes him from, you know, realm to realm, time to time. Timeline to timeline.
Right.
I guess. Because... It's all garbage. But I don't know. I I can't think of it. Like, I also am not super familiar with Loki, so I don't know any of his support characters.
Yeah, no, like that. Like, I know very little about the Thor. I mean, compared to what there is to know, I know very little about, like, Thor's anything.
Right.
Like, the Thor lore, if you will.
I remember reading Unworthy Thor to find out what Nick Fury said. And, like, okay, so Asgard's just dead and gone.
So much happened.
And I'm just like, wait, what? When did any of this happen?
Yeah, apparently a lot has happened since the original Sin and the Unworthy Thor.
Which I was getting a little caught up because I was reading, I read that entire Jason Aaron run from Mighty Thor all the way through to the build up to the War of the Realms, which I really want to read because it was all really good. And even still, so much more had changed.
Yep.
It was cool, but yeah.
But along those same lines, we also got new teasers for the Disney Plus shows.
We sure did.
During the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we actually got to see a little bit more footage for Cap and Winter Soldier, some more footage for WandaVision, a little bit more footage for Loki. And yeah, no, that was awesome. Like, we had a pretty big party at my place for the Super Bowl, and it was kind of funny that the entire room just got completely quiet.
Yeah, that Marvel logo hit, and we were just like, okay, just we know it's a time to be respectful and quiet. And
yeah, Sam Wilson grabs the shield, and it's just, dead silence. We had, like, 20 people in my apartment.
During America the Beautiful and Star-Spangled Banner, we were making jokes.
All talking, it was fine.
Yeah, it was a great time. Marvel logo, then we saw the real American flag, Cap shield. And then we shut up.
Yeah, no, it was pretty great. And yeah, we got to see quite a bit of just cool stuff. Like, I'm real excited about it. I'm really, really hyped to see what they're doing with WandaVision.
Yeah. All the different styles.
That was cool.
Looked super, super cool. Someone pointed out a freeze frame where it's like, okay, so she's clearly pregnant here, right?
Yeah, that was the one. Sadie clued in on that right away.
Did she? Okay. Because I missed it.
And apparently, I think she's also holding like a pacifier in that shot or something that. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, no, Sadie is
I didn't super... go back. And, I didn't go back and rewatch it.
I saw the freeze frame.
Okay.
I've watched it 3 times. And I'm not a trailer person, by the way, at all. But
yeah, because this was a legitimate, like, teaser.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time in a long time that Marvel has just given us a teaser.
Yeah, I feel teased.
I same.
In every way.
I'm very teased. Yeah. I very much want to see more. All right, so also with Disney Plus, we found out that Emilio Estevez will be returning to star in the Mighty Ducks series they're adding to Disney Plus.
More teased. Because I can't watch the movies yet because Disney's jerks.
HBO's jerks.
HBO's jerks. They all have more money than me.
So, I mean, well, you have a subscription to HBO, don't you?
I don't think so.
I thought you did. I thought you did with your DirecTV stuff.
So here's the thing about that. The more they giveth, they've never giveth. They just keep taking it away and making me give more.
That is still how DirecTV works.
It is still like... It's still like $10 cheaper than the next thing I can go to. The second it goes past that, I'm switching services.
Do you even use DirecTV?
Sadie does. It's how we watch Catfish right after it airs.
Oh, I guess that's fair.
Yeah. That's how we watched The Masked Singer last night. Commercial free-ish, because we just fast-forwarded through them.
Yeah, the DVR.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I'm like 20 years behind on the times, but man, it's lovely.
Anyway,
20 years behind on the times, watch Masked Singers. That's a blast from the past, you'll see.
Not that interested.
It's so good.
It's fine.
It's a great show.
Sure. I believe you. All right. So we also got a little bit of a rumor here. So this isn't any kind of confirmed, but I'm pretty hyped about it. Pretty hyped about it here. We got two new Transformer movies.
Okay.
Which, I mean, like, okay, they're the Transformer movies, whatever. We got a sequel to Bumblebee, though. The first Bumblebee I heard was pretty good. Never watched it. I watched it eventually.
I forgot that it hit DVD.
It did, in fact, a little while ago now.
Yeah.
But now, the real news coming out of this, the real nugget for that makes this rumor worth mentioning on Nerd Up.
He looks so happy.
Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah.
Beast Wars
movie. I know
movie.
It's going to be just as trash as all these other terrible Transformers movies. I'm still going to see it like 3 times in theaters because I need everyone to understand I am a 90s kid. I was born in 89. I had respect and an understanding that there was something that came before. But Beast Wars was for me. That was for my generation. Yes, looking back now, what was that animation style?
Oh, God.
At the time, that was top of the line, cutting edge. Oh. It was probably just as bad back then, but as a stupid child, and I was a real stupid child, that was the pinnacle of entertainment. And it was awesome. Right. They had some awesome toys. I had way too many of those. Like, and as soon as I saw this announcement, I was like, now I'm so mad at past me for not putting up a fight with my mom when all those garage sales came around. Because I had so much cool stuff that I would kill Dalton for gladly to get it back. To get half of it back. Yep. To get like three of them back. It's just, it would be, and so yeah, I want to see it with, but with like, because I will concede that by the towards the end of the Transformers movies, they figured out how to make them look not as garbage. Because those first ones, it was like, what is going on? No one, you can tell no one apart. It's just this mishmash of CGI.
Because the first one looked pretty good in theaters. Like I liked it quite a bit
you
there.
See, for me, even in theaters, I got lost. Like Optimus had that little bit of red. That was the only thing you could really tell him apart from. But like
everything else is very robot.
I remember watching it and just being like, okay, these are two giant robots that don't have personality, just like smashing into each other. So, but like with Beast Wars, maybe they'll get it right. Why am I allowing myself to hope? I know better than this. I know better than this.
So. Yeah, but as somebody that like Ace and I are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I also Beast Wars was really my like we had Transformers before.
Ironside like, I had was toys. A rhino. Like
but I never saw like the cartoons or anything for Transformers back in the day, like mm-hmm. before Beast Wars anyway.
Right.
I watched the cartoons after Beast Wars because you know I was like Transformers Beast Wars. I was like, wait,
what?
Transformers. We had a few of those when, and then I looked into it. Yeah, and those cartoons existed, but Beast Wars though was absolutely the pinnacle of animation.
Right.
Like the CG like brilliance for the 90s. Going back at like whenever they added to Netflix, I got so excited. And I've told the story before, but I was so excited when it got added to Netflix. And I was like, oh, I'm about to binge this nonsense right here. I got like 30 seconds in and I was like, oh no.
That's why I didn't try it. Because I also got excited, but I knew it's like, no, it's better in my head.
It
I should
better.
Have never rewatched Ninja Turtles 3.
We were there for that one live.
Yeah, you saw if you play back the tape, you can see the exact moment his heart rips in two. Raphael, like it's that right there. There you go.
That was the moment. Race. I was like,
probably
oh,
well before
no.
it even, but
because he was smiling and then just like the slowly like,
oh no,
oh no,
I was wrong.
Because he always disagreed with us because a lot of us were like, no, Turtles 3 was terrible.
It's like, no, it was good. I loved it so much. It was a good movie. It's just it's not as good, but it's still a good movie. His clown makeup on. Rainbow wig and
the more
giant
you say it,
shoes,
it's just
yeah.
applying it.
Beast Wars always looked bad to me.
You're also like,
I'm 92, so I was even younger.
Yeah,
but I remember seeing it. Like I had a babysitter that was like, "Oh, watch this," and I watched it, and I was like, "This is ugly." And it could have been like I was watching Shrek. That stuff was pretty legit. And then, like,
well, especially by then, like, because this was early 90s, was Beast Wars, like, early to mid 90s.
Yeah, I remember it was like one of the first few times that I saw something, and I was like, this is not good.
Yeah, probably by the time you watched it, they were definitely in rerun territory. Yeah. And yeah, no, it was probably looking pretty bad. But when Asa and I watched it as it was airing on TV, like, because we also were the kids that, you know, like I got a Nintendo 64 and I thought like I was playing WCW NWO No Mercy World Tour. And then what was the other one? Revenge?
Revenge.
Those are the two like THQ AKI ones.
How could anything get more realistic?
Exactly.
They have pyro. I distinctly remember watching my friend play Star Wars Rogue Squadron on his N64. And thinking, we did it. Shut down video games because clearly
it can never get better than this.
And then it's like, I just played Borderlands 3 on 144 Hertz TV and just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It turns out in the night, like, we were stupid kids.
No, we just didn't know better. Like, because again,
that stuff releases, and you're like, no, it was top of the line at the time.
Right, because like now you're going to have someone who goes to Endgame as a kid and is like, this is the most beautiful movie I've ever seen. Like, clearly nothing can top this. And then in 30 years, when it's all just beamed directly into our heads and there is no more CGI.
As though we're actually experiencing it.
Yeah, and there is no more CGI. It is just like, it just looks like real life. Like we've shattered through the uncanny valley. And we're going to be like, wow, people used to watch that? It's the stuff, it's the practical effects that hold up. It's the reason that when people are making indie games now, they're doing 16-bit. Because that style holds up. No one's making an N64 PS1 style game.
Nope.
Like, and there's no reason for it.
All right, so we'll move past this this Transformers. So Beast Wars, it's again, I want to make sure I'm clear here. It is a rumor. We do not know that this is happening. I'm just really hyped about the fact, like even the idea.
This is such an uphill battle for me. Because one, I need it to happen. And two, I need it to not be as awful as I know it will be.
Yep. Okay, so moving past that, we got a trailer for a Mortal Kombat Scorpion's Revenge animated movie.
This looks so good. Like, the animation style is amazing. It kind of reminds me of the DC movies.
Yeah, it's the same animators.
Is it? Okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Because I saw this and was like, are we going to get an Injustice? Like, are we going to get an Injustice story?
Very much could, but
like, because that would be great.
Mortal MK versus DC.
Yeah,
but like good.
But like with two, because you know Sub-Zero and Raiden were both in. They were DLC. They weren't part of the story,
right?
But like, get weird with it.
Yeah, no, because
the theme for my day has been, let's just get weird with it, and now that's what I want to see. Also, like, as easily the most the hands down biggest Mortal Kombat fan in the group.
Yeah,
Mortal Kombat has a really cool lore.
Yeah.
Wrapped around it. Like, they pay some serious attention to a lot of these characters. Not all these characters. I said not all these characters. But, like, the Scorpion story, yeah.
Yeah, Scorpion and Sub-Zero are two very fleshed out characters.
And, like, they lend themselves to a movie like this.
Yeah.
I just realized we were in 2020.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. For a while now. So we're now the second month in 2020.
I'm getting old.
So, yeah, spring 2020 is when that one's going to hit. It's going straight to DVD digital. So you guys will be able to get it at some point there. We don't know the exact day yet.
But it looks great. Look up the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer looks great. Like, especially if you're a fan of all the DC animated features that they've been doing for a while now. It's like I said, it's the same animators and everything from there. So the style looks extremely similar. It's a little bit more stylized for Mortal Kombat. But overall, like, it looks extremely similar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of neat. We also got, we're getting a live-action Steins Gate adaptation.
Okay.
Steins Gate is one of those, like, I would recommend it to anybody but Asa.
I have never heard of it, so, like.
Yeah, so it's one of the, like, whenever I'm trying to, like, think of anime that, like, I would recommend to people that don't really like anime,
mm-hmm.
Steins Gate is one of them, because it's a work of art. Like, it doesn't have all your silly anime tropes and everything else. Like, it's pretty serious throughout. However, the entire thing is about time travel.
There it is.
Yep.
Because I was like, wait, that sounds very much up my alley because I don't understand a lot of the anime. Like, Lindsay had to explain to me, like, several
anime
these
tropes.
Yeah, because it'd just be like, so why do these characters have, like, bubbles coming out of their noses? And then she had to explain it to me. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and none of that kind of stuff, like, none of the, like, the falling over randomly, like, with the weird, like, animation, like, stuff, like, none of that happens.
Like, when Ash just, like, he gets surprised and he just,
Yeah.
He takes a bump.
You're right. He's standing, and then like it's just the next frame is him
falling.
The legs
are up.
Yeah,
that's been the fun thing about rewatching Dragon Ball Z recently. It's been amazing. Yeah.
So Steins Gate is one of those ones that I always recommend because the story is phenomenal. Like it definitely, it's time travel that you might actually like, Asa, even because it has an established set of rules, and the whole goal is to try and create a different enough timeline that certain set events change.
I can tell you right now by the look on his face, he is not into this.
Because when you say that they have a very certain set of rules, that means that they can only break them for big deals.
They don't break any of the rules.
Okay.
Is
it finished?
Yes.
Okay.
And they've done like some alternate storyline stuff afterward that's not very important. But mm-hmm. Yeah, the Steins Gate story is finished.
Because it's not impossible to do time travel poorly. It's just when you do it poorly, it's such a lazy, terrible thing.
Yeah, because it's not like it's not a plot device in this. Mm-hmm. Like time travel is not a plot device. It is the central theme. Like it is about time travel.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good. If you're a fan of sci-fi stories, I highly recommend looking up Steins Gate. Like, it's fantastic.
But it's getting a live action.
And it is getting a live action American adaptation from the same studio, or the same, the producers, the money behind it are the same ones that have done a lot of other Netflix shows.
So, like,
Not the ones that did Death Note. Like, okay. I think it's different than that group. But they've done a bunch of other, like, Netflix shows in general.
Have there been more notable, like, live-action anime adaptations for Netflix? Because I know they did Death
Note.
Not
the Americanized ones.
Okay.
Because obviously there was FMA, but that wasn't an American adaptation. It was
still
very much a Japanese production that was
maybe that's
dubbed.
What I'm thinking of.
Because there's a ton of live-action Japanese-produced anime, mm-hmm. like, or
anime adaptations.
Anime adaptations, yeah. There's a ton of those in existence, and almost all of them are awful. But, yeah, there's only, like, a couple of American adaptations of anime.
A lot of that also is just, like, you see how, like, Enter the Spider-Verse. Like, I don't want an Spider-Verse live-action movie. Like, that story very much lended itself, and those characters and, like, what they did very much lended to animation.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, like, 99% of anime. Very much lends itself to being animated. Like, you can't, it just isn't going to translate into.
But, like, Death Note is another one of those ones that I think did translate well and mm-hmm. would translate well. And I think Steins Gate would too, because you don't have a lot of, like, those anime tropes. Like, it's a really, really beautiful.
It's a standalone, like, sci-fi story.
Yeah. And I think that they could easily adapt that. The only problem they might have is changing the location, because obviously it's based in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
In the anime, and they probably aren't going to, if they're doing an American adaptation, they're not going to be based in Japan.
Didn't they do that with Death Note?
They did.
Okay.
But
so it's doable.
Yeah, it is doable. And like and I know a lot of people are like, oh, please stop comparing it to Death Note because that was awful. It's like, I know you think that, but it wasn't.
F you.
So F you and your opinions.
No, I get it. A lot of people disliked that adaptation, but I thought it was cool. Like, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
To quote Trevor from last night, you could have just stopped it. I'm very opinionated.
I know. I admitted, like, when it comes to movies and TV, like, or movies in particular, like, I'm very vocal about my opinions.
But his timing was so impeccable. If you could have just stopped it, I'm very opinionated.
That's Trevor. Anyway. So this is one, though, that could easily be adapted. Like, the fact that it's in Japan is not completely critical to the story overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be all right. So, yeah, that's happening. And also, like, if you guys are thinking about checking out an anime, like, even if – just ignore the fact that it's anime. Look up Steins Gate if you're into a good sci-fi series that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, I think, 30 episodes, and it is finished. So it might be 40 episodes. I don't know. It's not very many, and it is, like I said, done. anyway, the Obi-Wan series on Disney Plus, currently on hold.
No.
They're reworking the script.
Yeah, if Disney is coming at you saying, hey, this script is bad, you take all the time that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But McGregor's not getting any.
He's not getting any younger.
I mean, does he need to be?
No. He still looks good.
Yeah.
He does.
And I mean, like, I'm fine with him playing just middle-aged Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
We're good.
Those stories aren't going to be that exciting. It's going to be like, and then he waited on the ranch. He was just waiting someday.
So
for
we have
Skywalker
actually seen,
boy.
Like, we see a couple of things in the comic book of, like, Obi-Wan doing some stuff and him, like, actually running interference, keeping Luke safe. Because people, like, had gone there to try and find him.
All of Luke's school bullies just ended up missing one day. that's the episode I want. He's like, oh, I have to be you, Anakin.
He also saved like their little ranch from sand people more than a couple times.
Oh, well, they had it coming.
So, yeah. Anyway, Tusken Raiders. Yeah. I prefer.
I thought they were in Oakland.
Oh,
no,
Vegas.
Not anymore. Yeah,
they're in Vegas
now. Vegas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're moving this year.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, so it's that's a new thing. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not super out of it. Like,
now for the 2020 season, they'll be in Vegas.
I'll tell you the super awesome thing with their ticket prices that NFL didn't take account for.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. All right. So yeah, back to anime for a second. We got a classic Digimon is being rebooted to be set in 2020. It's gonna hit. It's gonna hit in Japan in April. I know, like, you guys don't care about this at all. Me and Mandy are real excited.
I'm sorry.
Wait, what? You? Digimon?
Yeah. I had a ton of the Digimon cards. I loved the original anime until at a certain point they used a different song. And it was like full reggae. And it's just like, okay, Patapon is about to like give his life to save his friends. And like this giant evil is about to win and destroy the universe. But it's a fight. So we have to hit the fight music. Hey, Digimon. Hey, Digimon. It's like borderline ska.
No, I do remember
that. And it
that
just like,
music,
it totally
actually.
Killed it for me. I tried to go back and rewatch it because it was on Netflix. And I was like, oh, I forgot how much I genuinely hated this. Like, they did my boy Machine Dramon dirty. Like, he got taken out like a punk out of nowhere, but he was like the coolest looking one of that whole like quadrant of evil or whatever they were called.
Oh, yeah.
No, I dug Digimon, but like only the original ones. Like, after a certain point.
Yeah, once you hit season 3, I think, is where you had like
the
all the
new
kids
and then
yeah.
they got like locked in the real world or something. Like, it, like that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, they started doing a bunch of weird stuff, but then it became more like me. Digimon. Like, everybody had a Digimon. Like, they tried to make it straight up Pokemon.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's when they tried to start making it straight up Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are significant. And major differences between Digimon and Pokemon, so you better educate yourself before you open your... I gotta stop. It's a PG show. But just your opinions are as dumb as your hair. So, like, you were clearly... No. No, I'm like...
Sort of the name-calling.
It's earned. Don't earn it, then. Win stupid games. Play stupid prizes. That one.
I like that you just finished it anyway.
Was,
like back, you realized that you had it wrong.
You saw me realize it and just like, no, commit. That's what real ones do.
Anyway, so yeah, we're getting it. They're rebooting it completely. It's going to hit in April this year, and it's going to be basically it's just it's same characters, same cast, set in 2020.
Is it going to be the same like story all the way through?
No idea.
Okay. I hope it's the reggae song.
Now it'll probably just be like some like
I thought cape, you were about to
like
go
some
Smash,
J-pop
Smash
stuff.
Mouth. Some
no. No. Okay. Then we got
IFs with Digimon.
We got the cast for Marvel's MODOK, the animated series for Hulu.
Oh.
And I actually so I love their casting for MODOK.
Yeah.
They got Patton Oswalt.
That's gonna be fun.
That makes me really happy. Like I think that's gonna be great.
So I love it, and I love like when I looked at the cast announcement, like this is a stacked show.
Uh-huh.
Like the voice actors are stacked on this. My only complaint is that I feel like this means that MODOK is going to be the super campy, over the top, just like goofy villain, which he's great as. Like, look at his design. Of course he is.
Yeah.
But like, he could genuinely be on the level of Krang, where it's like, no, Krang can actually be super intimidating and like dark.
Mm-hmm.
So can MODOK. Like, and that's what I was hoping we were going to get.
But we're very much not getting that kind
yeah,
of show.
And I assumed that and as soon as they announced that it was animated, I was like, yeah, that goes. Because I've been on record before. I'm not going to go into it more. Advanced Idea Mechanics got the shaft in the MCU entirely.
Think it still get bought out?
It could still happen.
And they're getting bought out in this show.
Yeah, but it's this show. It's not like MCU. I wanted to see like a real live version of like I wanted to see MCU's take on I almost said Krang on MODOK because
Krang
I think
too.
That could be super cool to bring Turtles in the MCU. Yeah, do it. I don't care if they're owned by Warner Brothers and they're tied with DC. Just
give us
again, more. Get weird with it. Give me everything.
You didn't show them how much money you have.
I'm rich. Wait, they did. Never mind.
That's
yeah.
Disney.
I'm not rich.
Yeah, right.
I got my tax refund. And I was like, ooh. And then I remembered, you've already spent $500 more than that on a computer. And I was like, oh, no.
It's a sexy computer.
It is.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, no, so this is the storyline. Why did that break Dalton?
I don't know. Why does anything break him?
So
that's unfair.
We got an animated series. So like, have you heard what the plot is for this?
I read it when it first came out, but that's been like 3 weeks ago. All right,
so MODOK. MODOK is going through a midlife crisis.
Oh,
God. AIM is going under, so he's had to sell out to this just Silicon Valley tech upstart. And so now you've got, yeah, Patton Oswalt is MODOK going through, again, a midlife crisis. His boss is going to be voiced by Beck Bennett. And he's going to be this 20-something dude named like Austin, and he's just going to be like trying to get like you know AIM like up to code for Grumble is the name of the company that has bought them out. Amy Garcia is going to be MODOK's wife. Her name is Jody, and then Ben Schwartz is going to be playing MODOK's son Lou. Melissa Fumero is going to be MODOK's daughter Melissa. Yeah, no, this is great.
I'm a fan.
This is great. This is gonna be funny.
No, it's great. No, like it, again, it's great. Like the again, it's leaning towards the goofy side that I'm a little bummed about because, again, advanced idea mechanics is a joke, but not for the reasons that they're making it. Like, and also like, am I like MODOK racist? Because I thought MODAM was his wife.
I mean, that's another AI that because well, not an AI. It's that's weird, but. Yeah, no, like not, like a lot of this is not canon. It's new for the show. Like, his wife is a normal person.
Okay, yeah.
His kids are normal people. I'm pretty sure he's still a floating head.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, he has to be. He has to be.
He has to be.
I swear to you.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be MODOK.
I swear if he's just, like, Patton Oswalt is just a guy, and then eventually he turns into MODOK, I'm not going to be thrilled.
No, it's they very much, like, he very much is MODOK. Because they in the synopsis and stuff I was reading, like we got quite a bit of that. But anyway, all right, last little bit of stuff for movies here. We got a Fast and Furious 9 trailer, which I'm not going to talk too much about it. Like I just wanted to mention it because like I actually watched the full trailer.
I was going to say like how am I the like at the Super Bowl? I'm filled with people who like love these movies. I've literally seen maybe four of
them.
Who
else in that room? Like it was like me and my brother.
I thought Trevor also was like super into them.
I don't think so.
Aren't you?
No.
Okay, well then I guess I've just misread the room.
Do you want to know who's really excited about it? Ace Hawkins.
Is he?
Because he was like, Dalton, have you seen the trailer yet? And I was like, dude, I haven't seen those movies since like Tokyo Drift. And he was like, Cena's in it, you got to get ready. And I'm like, The Rock was in like six of them.
Yeah, but Cena plays a legit character.
Is that an insult? I don't know.
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Wasn't he Hobbs?
Or Shaw.
One of the two.
I think he was Shaw. Hobbs. Was he? Okay.
I called it. I've never even seen the movies. He looks like a Hobbs.
Shaw sounds like more of a British name.
See?
Or no, Hobbs sounds like more of a British
watch
name.
Watch me but... be wrong.
Yeah, who knows? It doesn't matter.
I'm IMDb.
The characters in these movies don't matter.
I'm very confident Family that he's matters. Hobbs, though.
And DVD players.
But see, not anymore.
But
we
see, the problem is Vin Diesel and The Rock do not get along. Yeah, so
that's why they split off. So now we got his greatest rival, John Cena, to play his actual brother.
Yep.
He is Dom Toretto's brother in this movie.
Yep.
Is John Cena.
Yep.
And like,
also, Dwayne Johnson is Hobbs.
Yeah, I was right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care.
I mean, like, I knew I was right. It's just like watching me be wrong because that would be funny.
That would be
like,
funny. Yeah. But no, so like, I watched the trailer and it's just like, I like how they just don't give a anymore.
Yeah, they just
like,
don't
care. They have totally given up on any semblance of reality. He catches a car. An airplane, like a stealth bomber catches John Cena's Mustang, like just magnetized to the bottom of it as he drives off a cliff. Then to chase them, he intentionally runs off of a bridge, catches part of the rope thing. It catches in the wheel well, and then he like uses that to swing himself to say, I don't know. It does, like none of this matters.
So I really...
They used to steal DVD players.
So I was a
they
big...
They used to steal cars.
And then use those cars to steal DVD players.
The DVD player, it's not important.
I remember cars. Like loving Too Fast, Too Furious. Mm-hmm. That was my jam. I watched all the special features. And I remember how much they were worried about making the car jump into the boat scene look realistic. And they have just stopped caring. And that was Too Fast, Too Furious. They were just basically drug smugglers for some drug lord that like...
They're doing jobs.
Yeah, that was it. Tyrese punched the window just to find out that the car was unlocked the entire time. Like, that is Fast and Furious movies. Not, well, apparently it is now.
Okay. Well, also, like, there's a big reveal at the end that there's a character is in the movie that they haven't seen since he's been killed twice.
He got killed once.
Oh, in Tokyo Drift, that dude? Han?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's back.
Yeah, they revealed that in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is a 15-year payoff.
I will say it was kind of so like.
I don't know if it's 15 years, but it's pretty dang close.
So they had a
no. They actually showed his death in a later movie.
Oh, was it just a flashback to?
Well, because he died. Well, so the thing is, the timeline is hard because Tokyo Drift, despite the fact that it was the third movie, takes place between, if I remember right, 6 and 7.
No, sir, it didn't. It took place between 2 and 3.
Tokyo Drift?
It was the third movie.
No,
it was the third movie.
Oh, my bad.
The timeline, yeah.
No, yeah.
Okay, I apologize. Like, no,
yeah, because you were checking your phone when I said like it released, but as
yeah,
the third
my bad.
Movie.
That's my fault. 2006 is when that movie came out.
But Tokyo Drift. It actually took place in 2017, apparently.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Tokyo Drift, yeah, Han.
Well, Bao Bao's not looking so hot.
And they're like, check it out, guys. And yeah, Han just walks out and like unscathed. Like,
I thought it was actually, guys? It was kind of cool. So like in the trailer, he comes out and he's eating on a bag of chips or something. And then at the live event, when they introduce him, he comes out just eating a bag of chips. It's like, that's kind of funny.
That's awesome.
That's cute.
So yeah, I know a lot of people are real confused about that, myself included, because I'm not sure what they did there, but regardless. Okay, this next portion of the podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs. Gwen Stacy is going to be, Gwen Stacy of the main universe, not Earth 65, Spider-Gwen, Ghost Spider, as she is now, of the main universe is getting her own title February 12th is when it's hitting. And it's taking place before Peter Parker became Spider-Man. So I don't really know what this book is supposed to be about. Just Gwen Stacy's life before Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man in the main universe.
Okay.
Which means before she was Spider-Woman.
It's not Earth 65. She never became Spider-Woman.
Oh, I misunderstood.
This is Earth 616, Gwen Stacy.
I thought you meant that it was the Earth, because now Earth 65 is just in 616.
It is not.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant.
Okay, I see what you're
like,
saying.
Like,
I thought you meant,
like, yes, now we are getting that Gwen Stacy, like, she's getting a book, but yeah, no. None of it makes sense. This is weird. It's all weird.
Yeah, this is, we have right now, there's Spider-Gwen, or Ghost Spider is the name of her current comic.
It's going to end up being, like, a Supernatural-style reveal of, like, no, their mom was actually a hunter all along, because we've run out of things to say.
Gross.
Spoilers, like, season 6, or who cares?
So, yeah, like, that we have that book going right now. This Gwen Stacy book, it's just called Gwen Stacy, and it is about Earth 616, which is the main universe, Gwen Stacy, before Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man. So this is set back in the, I don't know how they're doing it now, I guess the 90s. Yeah.
Do you think they're a big fan of Beast Wars?
Probably not.
Better, yeah, they probably like didn't like Digimon because they weren't lame.
Because, I mean, I'm sure she's a teenager in this. So she likes Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Heck yeah. I actually want that now.
That's good stuff. So yeah, I have no idea what this is going to be about, though. But yeah, if you're a Gwen Stacy fan, you want to read more about it, February 12th, hit it up. We also got... We talked about the Hellions book a while back when it got announced. That one's going to hit March 25th. Zeb Wells, Steven Segovia are working on it. That was the one I talked to had Nanny and Orphan Maker. Like, that's that book.
Mm-hmm.
We got another reveal recently. That also returning is the Goblin Queen.
I forgot about the Orphan Maker. That's such a name in poor taste.
Yeah, it did.
No,
yeah.
But it's like the Rock hosted SNL skit of just like the
Robo-Tomo.
Evil. Yeah, the evil invention contest. It's like, well, no, this one definitely wins. So like, yeah, Orphan Maker is, yeah, that kind of gives you a picture of the kind of person you're dealing with.
It's true. It's very, very on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Madeline Pryor is returning in the book as well. And she's going to be hitting up some Krakoa and causing some madness. That's Cable's mama. Looking at Dalton, because Dalton looking at me like this.
But wait. I'll watch any book where the person got slammed by Cyclops at least once. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, they were married.
Cool. I'm in.
Yeah. I'll buy it. Mr. Sinister made Madeline Pryor. She's another clone of Jean Grey.
There it is.
Yeah. Cyclops ends up marrying her, and they have Cable. Mm-hmm. And then...
And then they switch the satellite.
Which is, God, darn it, I was going to say that.
I was going to make a similar joke because
cut
he...
cut the cord.
He ends up...
the umbilical cord.
Because he ends up leaving her to go hang out with the X-Men and the recently resurrected Jean Grey.
And he was like, dang, you look familiar.
And just like didn't tell Madeline Pryor about it at all. She's like, she was like, going to work. And like
he left for sick.
Yeah, he was working.
So she went insane. Yeah, so this is gonna be like, that's really interesting. I did not care about this book at all before they announced that. Like, I'm interested to see Zeb Wells deal with some Madeline Pryor. Like, she's a cool character. She had some poor moments, but it's fine. She should be all right. Anyway, next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends at Press Start Join. You can find all this stuff at PS2J Show. Also, they've started doing a couple of new things. Got a new couple of new things going on their show. You can tune in right now. Every week they're going to be talking about what services are offering free games. So that's just really helpful info.
Yeah, that was a segment for on their ongoing show for a while, but they're.
Yes. So, also they are they've started this deal. They're going to start engaging, or they have been engaging more with their listeners, their family, as they call them. Every time, like if you have opinions and stuff like that on the show, they have a segment devoted to people's opinions on what they had talked about on the previous show. So it's just kind of a cool way to get involved there, because we like you guys' opinions on the social medias, but we definitely don't have a segment for it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should.
I mean, if more people would tell us your opinions, quit being the silent majority. I want to know you. I want to love you.
Yeah, that thing I said earlier about Death Note, let me know how wrong I am.
Is it the umbilical cord joke? Is that why you won't talk to me? Because, like, I get it. Because
I haven't checked the text that got from
you
Asa.
You should read the text.
I will put...
Not out loud. Don't read it out loud. But you should read the text. See? I told you should read the text.
Do I? No, I don't have a text.
Oh. No, because I know it will break him. Oh, I know enough. What your reaction will be, and it'll be disappointment. Like you can show him, but
no, it's fine. We're gonna move on to this video game stuff. So Wizards of the Coast, that name probably sounds familiar. You might not necessarily know either. The guys that do Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons, bunch of other stuff too. But that's the big stuff.
Those are the big two.
So yeah, they are working on a new video game studio. They're building a new one called Archetype Entertainment. It's going to be led by James Olin and Chad Robertson. Those are two like big names in BioWare back in the day. Chad Robertson, if I remember right, like that dude worked on Baldur's Gate. He worked on Dragon Age. He worked on Knights of the Old Republic and The Old Republic. Like, yeah, no, pretty good roster. And then James Olin was big on Anthem before he left that.
Oh.
So it's his fault.
So why is he involved in this?
Yeah. I don't want to
remember. Why isn't he in jail?
I mean, like.
Gosh, dang.
Anthem had a great concept. EA just really.
Yeah, it had a great concept. And then they told us a lot of other stuff that it was going to have.
They sure did. Sure
but at least it had that concept.
But anyway, the first game that you guys are releasing is going to be a sci-fi RPG. Which, if there's anything that I trust these guys with, it's definitely a sci-fi RPG. Mm. And I'm hoping Wizards of the Coast to be a little bit better than EA was with how they're getting this stuff done.
Given the pedigree here, are you surprised that it's going sci-fi?
No.
Okay.
BioWare is like... I mean, yeah, they've done non-sci-fi stuff, but their sci-fi stuff has always been... I say has always been. It's actually the minority, but Mass Effect, and
it's mostly what they've done.
Yeah,
I meant with like Wizards of the Coast, which they have been like they've been publishing games, or they've been licensing out.
Yeah, they've been licensing out because there's another company that's working on the Magic MMO,
right? And then, like the Baldur's Gate sequel that's coming out. So, but those are just licensing. That's not actual like Wizards of the Coast is producing it. Whereas this is their own homegrown studio that is going to be putting something out, which is neat. Like I'll be following that because the one thing that I can say about Wizards of the Coast, like I don't like Magic, D&D can be very very complicated. But like their world building is second to none.
That's pretty
like
true.
the amount of care they put with their lore is amazing. And to see if they really get to do that with this, it's gonna be amazing.
No, I'm excited about it. Like I'm pretty pumped about it. And I mean, like I love sci-fi RPGs. It's supposed to be like old school BioWare style. Like your decisions will actually change the world around you and change how your story unfolds. Which I'm always all into that.
I think it's State of Decay 2 that's coming out, where it's just like, yeah, you can choose to either flood this city for somebody like as a thing, or you prevent it from being flooded. And if you flood the city, you just lose access to all of those quest lines. You can't explore it. It's just done. Because now we've evolved past just the three-tiered choices of good answer, neutral answer, bad answer. So now it's...
it has, like, real-world consequences.
If they can really... Like, if we can finally get, like, BioWare... Like, well, it's not the people who are at BioWare anymore because it's EA. But, like, the people who started BioWare, like, if they still got it, it'll be really interesting to see what they can do with these new technologies.
I really wish that they could pull Drew Karpyshyn back in for some stuff. That dude was a genius. He's the one that wrote Jade Empire. Oh, okay. He wrote Mass Effect 1 and 2.
I almost feel bad for Jade Empire because it gets totally overlooked by Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, that's really true.
Like, it's really good, and it's in a really unique setting, especially for the time. But
and it was
no
like,
one ever talks about it.
It had, like, at the time, like, it was easily my favorite combat system of any of those kind of games. Like, mm-hmm. it was just super fun to play, and that story was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, yeah, like, it very much was another one of those games where, like, yeah, it only had, like, the 3 to 5 tier, like, answers and stuff, but right. it legitimately did. Like, there were several endings to that game.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been different. Anyway, so, yeah, I'm excited that I'm going to keep looking forward. I'm going to keep looking into that, and, you know, we'll update you guys when we have more information about it. Dalton, why are you shaking your head?
He sent me another text.
I don't know what he's talking about.
He really does. I'm doing a good job today.
So far?
Yeah. Oh, if he does it again, it's probably going to happen.
All right, well, Max Sheffer... has announced.
I'm not on my phone. I'm focused on the show. Like a
professional. Oh, yeah. You sure? I'm putting in the show.
Has announced Torchlight 3. They're no longer working on Torchlight Frontiers. Like, or this was Torchlight Frontiers. Has become Torchlight 3. They're axing the MMO aspect of it again, which Torchlight 2 was supposed to be an MMO, and they decided not to at the last, like, not the last minute, but like during development.
This is my first time ever hearing about Torchlight.
No, I'm not familiar with the series because like I've been off of the I haven't been in the PC ecosystem.
No, fair enough. Torchlight is it's a Diablo style game.
Yeah, okay. But I understand that this is a very big deal to a whole lot of people.
Yeah, it's got a huge cult following. It is a super fun game. It's made by some veterans of like OG Diablo, like in Hellgate London and a bunch of those other kind of games. And it is super popular. It's super fun. Like, you can get Torchlight 1 and 2 dirt cheap, and they're just fun to play through. The only problem that I ever had with it, there's 4 classes, and you just kind of run out of stuff to do pretty quick, or I did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still super fun, kind of stylized, good time.
It got a big big surge in popularity when Diablo 3 launched, and no one liked Diablo 3 when it launched.
So everybody was like, why don't you check out Torchlight 2? It's fun. And people were like, this is fun. And I was one of those people. I jumped over to Torchlight 2. It was a good time. And it scratched that itch while Diablo had burned me.
I was going to say, and then they fixed Diablo 3, and everyone was like, Andy, I'm done playing with you now.
Yeah, that's exactly how that went. But yeah, so I probably will end up grabbing this, though it was going to be a free-to-play MMO. They have now changed that. It's going to be available on Steam. It will be a premium title, but it will be a one-time purchase thing, which, yeah, you buy it once, you get everything, is the way that Sheffer's talking about doing it. Right now, you can go to, I think it's playtorchlight.com. You can get information, sign up to possibly be in the alpha. Sign up for email updates, for beta signups and stuff like that, so you can jump in on it. But it should be available on Steam sometime this year, and it's going to be a good time. All right, we also got the Pokemon Home information for people been interested in that. Like, I kind of wish Lindsay was here because I know she's the most interested in it because she actually did invest in Pokemon Bank and has a bunch of stuff over in the Pokemon Bank. We got a lot of stuff detailed. The big thing everybody's been wondering about for a while is the pricing on it, which I think is honestly fairly reasonable. $2.99 per month if you go monthly, $5 per 3 months, $16 per year. That's fairly reasonable price. You can move, I mean, we kind of knew this already, but you can move Pokemon from, your Pokemon Bank to Pokemon Home. You can move it from Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu to Pokemon Home, but you can't move it back out. Except for, I think, Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu, you can. But if you move from Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee into Sword and Shield, you can no longer take them back to Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. Like, the diagram they had for it was kind of confusing when I saw, like, oh, no, you can move them back, except to the bank. You can't move them back to the bank.
Which, this is meant to replace the bank anyway.
Yes.
So, like, that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
And there will be a free version as well, but it'll only hold 30 Pokemon. Versus if you have the paid version, it holds 6,000 Pokemon.
Jesus!
Which, yeah, so at that point, it's like, why even offer a free one?
Right. You also have
that would be helpful for me.
The free version has, like, you have access to the Wonder Box with the free version. and the global trade system. But you have fewer Pokemon available. Like for the Wonder Trade, you can only have one versus, I think it's 1 versus 10, and then the global trade is 1 versus 3 at any time. You also can't host a trade room, and it doesn't have, they're adding for the premium version this the judge functionality where you can actually look at the stats and see how strong your Pokemon is that's in the bank.
Oh, I don't know.
Some people care about that. And eventually you'll be able to move Pokemon from Pokemon Go into the Pokemon bank.
Oh, there it is. They were going to get there.
That one's kind of a big deal for a lot of people.
They're going to find out that like the Pokemon they spent like months getting is going to be like, oh, that was level 4.
It translates to a level 4. The Pokemon bank stuff seems fine. Like, I haven't seen a huge outcry of like, this is nonsense. So I think the Pokemon communities.
It's there. A lot of it's based on the price, though, because Pokemon bank was $5 a year. And this is up to 16, and it doesn't really feel, it doesn't seem like it's a whole lot of added functionality.
But you can put 6,000 Pokemon.
Well, the big thing, the big added functionality, and I think the reason they charge, they're thinking it's okay to charge more for it, is because it has a mobile app too. And you can actually like view your Pokemon and trade your Pokemon from your cell phone.
That's cool.
So you don't have to have your Switch with you. So like, yeah, so basically, I mean, if we're hanging out here at the store, and like I've got a Pokemon that Dalton wants in my Pokemon bank, assuming I get it, which I'm not. But if I did,
and that is also assuming that I'm going to care a whole bunch, which I'm not.
Yeah. In this world where Dalton and I both care a lot, we both have Pokemon banks.
Sadie, Allie, and Lindsay are all hanging out with their phones.
Yeah, they don't have to. They don't have to have their Switches with them. They could just trade Pokemon from the bank. Like,
I had to get the three people that I know would do it.
And those three will.
Yeah.
I think all three of those people will likely end up having Pokemon Bank.
And Sadie only has 2 of the games, so that's going to get really frustrating for me.
The mobile functionality, I think, is where it does get a lot, it gets quite a bit nicer. Because with Pokemon Bank, you only had access to it on the DS, and it wasn't very friendly for a lot of things. So.
Yeah, I was in that weird window where it's like, I'm going to go back and do Heart Gold and Fire Red and like move everything over. And then I was like, no.
Yeah, about
that's
that.
A whole lot of grinding.
I
still haven't even beat Sword. And this is the easiest one they've ever made.
I've got 7 badges.
Hey, you caught up with me.
All right.
Can't let you beat me.
Gonna have to get on it. All right. So, yeah, that's what we got there. We got it out in the open. Yeah. It's not terrible. $16 a year ain't bad.
Yeah.
All right. So the last little thing I want to talk about, Warcraft 3 Reforged hit. And not well. Mm-hmm. Right now, last I looked, it is at a 0.6 out of 10 user score.
Metacritic?
Metacritic. User score.
Very important
to know, hit that.
User score. The Metacritic score is around a 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 0.6 last I looked with like 11,000 reviews,
which we know the internet, they love to weaponize those Metacritic those fan scores.
They do. So. But this is one of those times where I'm like, no, that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because so this is supposed to be, for those that haven't heard a whole lot about Warcraft 3 Reforged. I know me and Shannon were pretty hyped about it when we first saw it because it's straight up supposed to be Warcraft 3, but remade, like reskinned, HD textures, all new, but you know, still that Warcraft 3 game with some new features and some other stuff. It's straight up missing cinematics. It is missing a lot of gameplay features that the original game had. The UI is somehow even worse than it was back in the day when it was first released.
Reforged.
Yeah, it's not good. Like, on top of the fact that it's just straight up buggy and nearly unplayable in a lot of situations, like it crashes all the time.
It also removed like fan fixes, so stuff that was broken in the original one that like the community helped fix, that's just reverted back to,
yeah,
like all that stuff's gone.
They've also thrown in, and this is the one thing that I think is like, because I know normally we don't talk a whole lot about like, oh, this released and it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing there that like really struck me of like, really, Blizzard? Really? Part of the terms of service is that users forfeit moral rights to custom maps. So a little bit of background on this. A lot of game mods for Warcraft ended up like becoming extremely popular. One in particular, a game that I think even Dalton's heard of called Dota, Defense of the Ancients. That game spawned League of Legends.
Okay, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. That was based on, like, the creator of Dota All-Stars, went on to make League of Legends.
Okay.
Then Dota ended up becoming, like, its own game, Dota 2, and released on Valve.
Okay.
But it was originally a Warcraft 3 mod. It was just, which, not a mod, it was a custom map. And it was extremely popular. Like, it got super huge, and, like, people were doing, like, tournaments and esports and all this other stuff based on a custom map in Warcraft. And they wanted to, they tried to get the guy, Ice Frog, I think is his name, the guy that made Dota in the first place.
It's Steve. His name is Steve.
They tried to get that dude to remake Dota. This is before Dota 2 came out. He tried to get him to remake it using StarCraft 2's more robust custom systems.
Okay.
And the problem was they weren't, like, they were going to give him access to, like, all that creative stuff before StarCraft 2 ever came out so that it could be launched with it. And that was, like, their payment to the guy. They tried to, like, phrase it, like, they make it that way, like, we'll give you access to this early if you make this.
Oh, my God.
Going to pay him. They basically, like, they full on, like, Think choosing beggars at him. Yeah, they full on, like, Instagram it will pay them. You an exposure. Yeah, so they could have Dota for it. And he was like, no. So, yeah, and then Valve picked up Dota 2, and it's making dumb amounts of money. Like, it's huge in esports and everything else.
So that guy's like, not only do I have the exposure, I also have a dump truck of money.
Yeah, I don't know how much money he's gotten for Dota 2, if anything. But, I mean, regardless, somebody made money off of Dota 2, and it wasn't Blizzard. And Blizzard ain't happy about it. So the terms of service include forfeiting the moral rights to it. So in other words, if a Dota ever happens again where it gets dumb amounts of popular, Blizzard can just claim it, release it, and not ever even credit the person that originally made the custom map. Because they have forfeit, like, it's a specific sect of copyright like law where they forfeit, like, ever even creating the idea. They get nothing.
So
Blizzard's making all the friends.
You're right. No, it's messed up, but it's also their sandbox.
It is.
So, like,
it is. So they are welcome to take a dump in their own sandbox.
Yeah, they can.
But
they
people
can.
Aren't going to want to play it anymore.
Yeah.
Remember that portrait of Jesus
that got restored.
That totally got restored. That's Warcraft 3 versus Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Yeah, because the whole thing, like, I get
I'm funny,
and especially since they've been burned before on that. I mean, they burned themselves.
Yeah,
but, like,
because they could have released it, and then, like, they're like, nah, this mobile craze will never hang around.
Whoops.
League of Legends is still the most popular esports, like, the largest esports community in the world.
Yeah, like, I understand both sides, but yeah, there's a good way to go about it and a bad way to go about it. And they keep choosing the bad option. Mm-hmm. They think they're playing one of their games.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, Blizzard, like, I get why they did it. Like, from a business perspective, smart move.
Mm-hmm.
From a PR perspective,
real dumb.
Real bad.
Yeah, it's like no one, like, everybody in PR, like, quit or got fired or got executed after the Blitzchung thing. And so they, like, had no one to run this by of just like, hey, maybe don't even phrase it like you are the evil mega corporation that you actually are. People see it now. Like, all you burned so much goodwill here. Like, you can't put out another Overwatch character to, like, guys, you love us now. You already announced Diablo 4. Like,
and Overwatch 2.
Yeah, like, you got there's not stuff you can do anymore. Like, you're out of
unless they, like, WoW 2.
Yeah, you got to be better. You got to be better.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's really not good. Like, it's a terrible PR move. And somebody had pointed out too that it seems like about 10 years ago they've been just, like, constant bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And somebody else pointed out, like, Activision did buy Blizzard in 2008.
As you say, like, I wonder what happened 10 years ago that we could trace this back to.
Produced by Dick Wolf.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, Activision is a horrible company, and I don't like them. Don't like them at all.
EST.
Call of Duty's good, though.
Yeah, honestly, Modern Warfare has been great.
Modern Warfare is great. We're just, all right, you got one thing going for you.
Yeah, like, I have my complaints, but they're minor. Like, mm-hmm. Boy, I've been having fun with that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a hard stance against Activision. I haven't bought the game.
Yeah, that's why you haven't bought it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, don't try to moral high ground that.
No, Activision's a garbage company. I'm not going to support them. What do I like playing? No, WWE, I'm good. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot's definitely not Activision.
There's something, I'm sure. Activision's got their fingers in a lot of pots.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go trade all those games in to game. Dang it.
Okay, and well, I guess I lied. I did want to mention one more thing just for Mandy. Because she couldn't be here tonight. She desperately wanted to mention it. She's so extremely – I have not seen her this excited or happy about something in years.
And Kingdom Hearts 3 came out last year.
It did.
Yeah.
DLC so they, came out last week.
Well, we ain't going to talk about it.
They announced an Animal Cross Edition Switch, which ever since like the Switch came out and they said they're going to do – like even before they said they're going to do an Animal Crossing, Mandy's like, I need them to make an Animal Crossing Edition. She even, when she bought her first Switch, she was like, what if they announce an Animal Crossing edition? I don't want to buy this yet. I have to wait. So they finally announced it. And I sent her the link, and she just all caps me. Just, oh my God, it happened. It happened. It happened. OMG, it happened. OMG. OMG. OMG.
So she's going to be like shaking people down for tips for a while.
A little bit, yeah. So she actually it went up live pre-order that day, which I know normally I have a stance against pre-orders, but if you remember my addendum.
That's a special edition.
Special editions, if by all means, pre-order your limited editions because those are limited. Like that's when also, pre-ordering is important.
Hardware is much different than software. Absolutely. Because you're not, yeah, there's a solid chance you could end up having to pay scalper prices.
Yep.
For this Animal Crossing Switch. But, like, Animal Crossing, you're going to find everywhere.
Yeah, there's no reason to pre-order that. That's not going to be a
problem. On the system, you digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, there's no reason to pre-order that game. So, I found out that it was available for pre-order while Mandy was on lunch. So when she got back, she gave me her credit card, and I went on my lunch, and I pre-ordered it for her. And, yeah, like, I gave her the receipt for it, and just, like, we were in the parking lot at work, and she just immediately started the, like, you know, warning tone, like the or flatline tone. That's probably better. Yeah, no. So there's an Animal Crossing Edition Switch. It's super pretty. It's available for pre-order, as well as the case. So if that's something that you've been waiting for, you're interested in, I will mention it does not include the game, but it's normal price. It's $300, which is the price of a Switch. So that's not a terrible deal, and it's probably the best looking special edition Switch they've released so far.
Yeah. It's the most unique.
The Mario Odyssey one, just that those red Joy-Cons is real nice looking.
But it wasn't that special, because you can buy just the red Joy-Cons.
Yeah, there was like nothing besides that.
I mean, you'll be able to buy these eventually, or like these colors.
But like that dock.
I mean, they never released the Pikachu and Eevee for separate.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, and then the dock looks completely different. Like,
it's got decals on it. It doesn't. It's not like they reinvented the dock here.
The Smash Bros.
I do really like the color. Like, it's because it's like seafoam and teal.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah,
yeah. No, it's very island themed. Like, which again, that's just right up Mandy's alley. Like, she's super excited about this system.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's super cool. It is super pretty. If you guys are Animal Crossing fans, check that out. Like, you know, it might be worth. Doing some selling and some swapping around.
Irresponsible spend monsters.
Yeah.
You know our stance.
Do it, you coward.
Can't take it with you.
That's right.
Don't need food.
Okay, that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.